Well, it's noon here in Ventnor, New Jersey and Bethesda, Maryland, and this is news that you can use from CarEdge for Monday, March 20th. Hey, how are you there, handsome? I didn't get to see you at dinner Saturday night.
Yeah, bummed I couldn't be there, Pops, but I am doing well. How about yourself?
Oh, good. Everybody wants to know about your bike.
Did you talk about my bike? When did you talk about my bike?
That was the reason why you couldn't come to dinner. You were late from your bike fitting appointment. You know,
bike's pretty nice, man. Bike's pretty nice. I'm pretty stoked about the bike. But we are actually going to focus the beginning of today's show. We'll talk about bike. You got to stick with us. And I met Wilson at the bike shop, which was awesome. He's a big fan and a member of our community, which I loved. Dad, we have new data that comes from the World Economic Forum talking about the auto loan crisis. And honestly, man, the deeper you dig, the crazier it gets, the scarier it gets. Before we dig into that, though, Dad, I want to remind everyone, St. Patrick's Day promotion running between now and the end of the month back at caredge.com. So if we can help you buy a car, sell a car, all those fun things, the warranties, the insurance, everything, you can get up to 25% off if you go to caredge.com. But Pops, did you look at this World Economic Forum data? It's pretty wild.
Well, you know, I was able to read it because it was mostly pictures.
Yeah, that is what we like around here. Here you go, Dad. They created a good-looking infographic. Let me pull it up here. It's loading. It's loading.
I was so thankful that I was in the older category, and so the likelihood of me going bad on my car loan is a lot less than, I don't know, those young kids out there.
So let's run through it, infographic by infographic. Younger Americans borrowed more aggressively to purchase vehicles. Growth in outstanding car loans from Q2 2020 to Q4 2022. What this is showing you is that 1 in 5 Gen Zers say that car payments account for over 20% of their after-tax incomes. Those that are 18 to 29 add 31% of their income going towards their car payment. WTF.
But literally, you know, I joke about it all the time, but the rationale behind it is if you're still living with your parents, you can certainly afford to have, well, a bigger car payment and perhaps even a nicer car than your parents. You know, because my guess is if any of these people, any of these kids were like my brother, when my father told my brother, This was many, 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 many years ago, like 50 years ago. He said to my brother, he said, after my mother passed away, he said to my brother who lived with him, your room and board is $10 a week, $10 a week. And my brother, God bless him, your Uncle Ken used to pay him $40 a month. Okay. Now, do the math. He beat my father out of 4 weeks worth of room and board. Now, the best part was that you know, neither one of them cooked. So they would order out and Kenny would go pick up the food and my father would give him money to pay for the food since Kenny was paying $10 a week room and board. And my brother would never give him the change back. So if these kids, if these 18 to 29 year olds are anything like your Uncle Kenny, they're driving nicer cars than their parents because, well, they ain't paying their parents to be living in the house. And so they can afford to have 20% or more of their after-tax income going towards that car payment.
Yeah, maybe that is the thesis, Dad. Maybe it's also that flex culture has gone a little bit too far. We've got from Mark here. Mark, thanks for being a part of our community. We gotta take Mark out to dinner, man. He's a part of the community. He contributes. We got to get him out one time. That would be
if he comes down to the shore during the summer, you know, I'll even help him find a parking spot and we'll take him out to dinner.
I love it, Dad. All right, let's look at some of the other data that was provided on this infographic. At the same time, young Americans are falling further behind on their auto loans. Look at this, Dad. You can see the red line representing 18 to 29-year-olds that are in serious delinquency, over 90 days overdue. This is obviously going to be global financial crisis back in 06, 08, 2010. So you can see the huge spike that we saw there. Look at the slope of this line. What we're seeing right now, it's back over pre-pandemic times. younger Americans are more severely delinquent on their auto loans, and not by a little bit, by a lot of bit. And it wasn't always like that. Look back here, Dad, when we were in 2014.
Yes.
There was much more parity when it came to delinquency rates. And it's happening across all of the age ranges, but it is an interesting disparity. You've got younger people spending more of their cash on their car payment each month. And then you have younger people being more predisposed or more disposed to actually be delinquent on paying off that auto loan. And last time I checked, that has a big impact on your future credit worthiness as well, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And why do you think that they would find themselves being more delinquent than slightly older people in this graph?
They simply are choosing to spend money on other things. I don't know.
Maybe through age and experience, you learn how to better budget when you're 18 to 29. You know, maybe you have no concept as to how you should budget your money. And as you get a little older, that stuff kind of sinks in a little bit, and you become much more cognizant of how you're spending your money and how you're budgeting your money. And which is why delinquency rates are so much lower, for instance, for people my age.
Do you think it has anything to do with young people not appreciating the impact that not paying on their auto loan and going into severe delinquency will have? Older folks might have a more real appreciation for the impact that could have on other debt facilities and things like that that they would like to open up.
I think credit, you know, whether it was associated with your cell phone, you know, where you would pay X amount a month for your cell phone plus your cell phone bill, you know, credit has younger people become accustomed to credit more quickly at a much younger age than people did in the past. And they just assume that it's a normal, never-ending thing, and that, you know, you're always just making payments for whatever it is that you're buying. And so when you don't have a complete understanding as to the importance of credit in society and to the importance of having good credit in society, there's a tendency, especially when you're younger, to be just a tad bit more reckless. So I think that might be part of it. I think part of it is just a psychological thing. You know, at 18, you're convinced you're living forever. Okay, there's no downside to anything that you do until, well, there's suddenly a downside. So yeah. I think a lot of it is really psychological.
Yeah, I think you could be right. I mean, I'm thinking about my own lived experiences, and it wasn't really until I dealt with some hardships that I realized how fragile things are and how much you have to appreciate them. And a lot of these kids that are, and I think it's appropriate to call them kids, a lot of these kids that are 18 years old that want to flex on TikTok or Instagram what's the one, Dad? What's the new one? What's the cool one? What's the one I wanted to get you on, but we're not on?
TikTok.
We're on TikTok.
I don't know. J-Date? J-Date. Yes. J-Date for older men. Yes. Yeah.
No, but all these, like they just want to look cool, and they don't understand the ramifications. And at the same time, you're then seeing interest rates go up significantly. The latest data we had from Cox Automotive last week, average APR on a used car loan, 14%. Whoa. So imagine you're, and I get the DMs all the time on TikTok and Instagram, because that's a younger demographic that reaches out to me. And they're always asking. I told you that one last week about the woman whose daughter got approved for a 24% APR. And she was like, what can I do? I was like, please go get a pre-qualification from a credit union. Like, see if you can get approved, because you're going to get stuck with a ridiculous APR right now. That's the new normal for the next couple of years, would be my guess.
Yes. So I it's just, a lot of it just has to do with life experience. You know, not to bring up a sore subject, but you know, when you first went off to college, you learned some life experiences, I don't know, 2 or 3 days into your college career. And just because you learned that 2 or 3 days in, it wasn't until several weeks later when you were told you needed to show up at court that maybe perhaps it started to sink in what you might have gotten yourself into. You know, when I was off at college and the guys decided to, well, late at night, at midnight, let's go drive outside of town to where the beer distributor is and steal some kegs of beer. You want to go? And, you know, normally I would have said no, but that night I said yes. And then that night, you know, running from the police, I heard halt or we'll shoot. And then I heard a gunshot and I halted, not because it hit me, but because I realized at a certain point, I ain't out running a bullet, you know, so that experience helped to inform future decisions on my behalf. Your Definitely. Experience, I believe, helped to inform future decisions on your behalf. That's how we learn. And so 18 to 29 year olds that are spending way too much money for a car payment out of their income will learn through those experiences the mistakes that they've made, and hopefully it will positively impact decisions that they make as they get older.
Absolutely, Pops. Absolutely. All right, let's switch gears. Let's talk a little bit about the used car market. We had some data from our friends over at Cox Automotive. This came out on Friday of last week. Spring selling season kicks off early with used vehicle supply low. A few things to keep in mind here. So we have low quality used car inventory. We'll get a Black Book update tomorrow. And we've already seen wholesale used car prices over the past 6 weeks or so go up. We haven't seen a consummate retail price increase. However, Dad, one of the things I'm noticing and seeing significant movement on are trade-in valuations. So if you're looking to sell a car, what we call in the industry, the strength of offer from the Carvanas, the CarMax, those have skyrocketed. Yes. So we are seeing a real shortage of supply of used vehicles. And that's what this Cox Automotive article talks about. There's just not enough used cars that are quality. Now, at the same time, we have actually seen the number of used cars sell decline as well. So you have fewer people in the market, but you have fewer good options out there. I'm looking at this and I'm thinking to myself, if I don't need to buy a used car, I'm not buying a used car right now because prices will have to come down eventually. But if I can sell a car right now, now is a great time, truly a great time to sell a car.
Absolutely. I mean, the dealers are having the toughest time trying to find good quality used cars. And, you know, one of the conversations we've had is that dealers are having to pay retail and above at the auto auctions in order to buy some quality used cars. Now, when they do that, okay, they have other expenses involved. There's a buy fee at the auction they have to pay. Then there's a transportation fee to get the vehicle back to the dealership. So if you as a customer have a vehicle to sell, you very well could take it to a local dealer and say, hey, you know what? It would be cheaper for you to pay what you would have to pay for this car at the auction to pay it directly to me because there's no buy fee. There's no transportation fee to bring it back to the dealership. All you'll have is the reconditioning fee. So yep. It's still cheaper for a dealer to buy it directly from you at what they would have to pay for it at the auction than if they actually went to the auction and bought it there. And then obviously Carvana, who has perfected the concept of buying high and selling low, and then wondering why they lost $2.9 billion last year, you know, but it's proven to be an extremely successful concept for them, perhaps.
Let's do a case study. So I went to the car search and I found a used 2020 Honda CRV. Yeah. 13,000 miles on it, 21 days on the market. The dealer's asking $29,000. You can see the suggested offer, negotiability score,
yes,
market day supply, all that stuff. So Pops, I'm going to caredge.com/sell and let's plug it into our own tool. Let's see what it's worth. So I've got it in here. Yep, that's my Honda CRV. we're not going to add anything to it. We'll say it's got a clean title. We own it.
Yes.
Title's in my possession. Nope. No accidents. Nope. It doesn't like something about my answers. Let me see here. Yeah. Okay. We'll give it a color. There we go. Save and continue.
Give it a color.
Got to give it a color. Minor defects. No issues. None of the above. Never smoked it. No. Continue. Nope. No issues. No fluid leaks. No aftermarket parts. Two key fobs. Under a year old. No issues with the tires. No issues with the wheels. Sure, I'm thinking about buying a car. Not really, but let's see. Let's get some offers.
Okay. I can't wait.
I mean, this is what you can do. I mean, yeah. It's simple. It's easy. It's free.
The offers are probably going to be about $27,500.
You think
I'm guessing, yeah. I'm just guessing.
Retrieving your offer. Sell smarter and faster. Let's see. Holy cow.
Holy shit. I mean, holy cow. Oh, my God. Well, if I were a customer, I'd run into that dealership. I'd buy that damn thing today and then turn around and sell it to Echo Park.
Holy cow, man. The used car market is back on fire.
Yes.
Holy cow. Holy cow. Wow.
That's pure lunacy.
Whoa.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
That was live, folks. That is live. Wow.
Jeez, Louise. Yeah.
We've got a question here. How is this any different than KBB? KBB is not actually paying you for your car.
Yeah.
These dealers are.
Yeah, the difference between this and KBB is KBB has never stroked a check in their life for an automobile. Okay? They give you a concept, an idea, a construct of what your automobile, according to them, should be worth. And you ask them to buy it, they ain't doing it. They're not writing any checks. They're not building any inventory. These are offers from dealerships or a dealer that they will actually stroke you a check for that amount of money. That's the difference.
The thing is, we actually have a whole team. We partner with the company CarWiser. They've got a team just like ours of folks that'll actually walk you through the selling process to one of those dealers. So yeah, not only does KBB not buy anything or sell anything, they just do lead gen for dealers. We don't even do the lead gen for dealers. We are staunchly against that. We actually connect you to folks that will buy it. And in this case, yeah. Echo Park are the crazy folks who want to pay $31,000. So, I mean, okay, so now is a good time to be selling because supply is so low that now is a good time to be selling. I would not endorse or recommend trying to negotiate on a lot of used cars right now because dealers are such short supply. Yeah.
What dealer was that that had that CRV?
Yeah. So this is one discrepancy. This is Browns Arlington of Honda, and I ran that for
Browns Honda of Arlington, not Browns Honda. Yeah. Okay. So yeah. What we should do is we should take a screenshot of that. And if you want to get the GM at that store to like suddenly endorse you and like you, I would send them that screenshot and say, by the way, you need to raise the price on that vehicle.
Not a bad idea. Not a bad idea. But I'm not going to advocate for that because we prefer lower prices.
But he might like you for that. But that shows, you know, where people might say that, yeah, the cars are still way overpriced. And in many, many, many cases, they are. But that shows you that at that particular dealership, if legitimately you can go in and buy that car for that advertised price, and that's always a question. But if you can, then, you know, based on what you could turn around and wholesale it for to another dealer, you're buying it at a very right price. Whether it be overpriced or not, it is still much cheaper than what it would sell for, say, if Echo Park bought it. You know, what are they going to turn around and try and sell it for? $33,000?
I mean, look at that, Dad. The out-the-door price
is less than what Echo Park would pay for the vehicle.
So if this is not clear that we're in an arbitrage space, if you want to buy and sell cars to make a little bit of money, we're back to that. Yeah, Mark, this is what we're back to, flipping vehicles. Yeah, that was happening all the time at the beginning of the pandemic. People were flipping vehicles and like we are back there. So again, if you're going to sell, use our site, super interesting to see the dynamics of what's going on. And Jeremy saying, as an independent in Colorado, the auctions here are overpriced. Absolutely, totally believe it.
But see, the beauty of the vehicle that you ran was that it is a relatively young, low mileage, sought after, quality used car. Dealers will overpay for those. Now, if you're going to plug into car, well, you plug into CarWiser, you know, a piece of crap, or you know, you take a piece of crap to the dealer, don't think that they're going to necessarily overpay for that. But high quality, low mileage, 1, 2, 3 year old used cars are worth more today than they've ever been worth. And not by a little bit, but by a lot of it.
Yeah, it's happening again. Hey, Dad, let's go to the community forum.
Okay.
We had a big thanks come through from Travis. I want to give Travis a shout out. I stumbled across the podcast trying to educate myself on buying a used car for my teenagers. Luckily, I started my search several months ago, and early I consumed the podcast, YouTube, and website. After a lot of looking and back and forth, I changed direction based on what I learned. I decided to keep my 2017 Accord and pass that on and purchase a new 2023 Accord. My OTD price was exactly what I wanted and less than I thought was possible. My finance rate was lower than any rate I could find, even at credit unions. And I got the VSC warranty and tech warranty for $1,000 off and even less than the Car Edge warranty. That's awesome. Yes. After I declined it and said I would shop around because I thought I could do better. I felt so confident and checked off all my learnings from the YouTube F&I reenactments. I asked all the questions and it was like deja vu. It might as well have been Ray and Kimberly. The F&I guy asked me if I ever worked in the auto industry or I must have bought lots of cars in the past. I really know what I'm talking about. Hardly. I just parroted what I learned. Anyway, I'm very happy with the deals I got and my cars, and I wanted to share. More importantly, I know what I paid for and why. Thank you, Car Edge, for your information. I've already referred 2 friends and will be back for my next purchase. If you tune into the show here, the podcast, the Monday through Friday daily news, if you go to the website, stories like Travis's are why we wake up and do what we do. Pops, I met Wilson at the bike shop this past weekend. He's tuned in. I didn't even tell you this, but yesterday I was working out in a coffee shop here in DC, and I got stopped by a gentleman, and he came over and he thanked me. He said that he's been a member and he saved money. So this is what we do. And it's so awesome to see this information be put to use to actually just save money and feel confident.
Even in these overpriced times, overvalued times, there are ways for people to save money. There are ways, if you're willing to educate yourself, to be able to make sure that you're not going to be taken advantage of. And yes, when we see things like that, when we read those posts, it indicates to us, it validates why we get up every day and do what we do. Yeah, I'm a retired car guy. Yeah, I must have lied to people all my life. Absolutely. Think whatever you want to think. And yeah, I'm trying to atone for my sins by sharing insights with everybody today. You know what? Even if that were true, and it's not, why bash me for it if we're actually saving people money and we're actually educating people? It's a wonderful thing to know that we can have a positive impact on someone's life when they're embarking on making what is typically the second largest purchase in their life, you know, and what we need to do is somehow figure out how to be able to get that message to those 18 to 29 year olds living with their parents. so that it for 2 reasons. Okay. One, so that they don't make the mistakes that a lot of them are making. And 2, if we save them enough money, we can do their parents a favor and get them the hell out of the house. Okay. because at a certain point, no matter how much you love your kids, and I love mine, you know, if they're 25, 28, 29, I don't want them living in my basement anymore. I want them out on their own.
What about the couch behind you? Do you mind them living on the couch behind you?
Well, I didn't have a choice, okay? Because I was informed. It was kind of like a birthday present. I was informed, like, well, I'm here, Oh, and I'm planning on spending the summer and I'm going to sleep on this couch. Great. Oh, and I usually go to bed about 8:30 every night. Oh, perfect. Yeah.
For those of you who don't know the Car Edge origin story, I quit my job, moved in with my dad, slept on the couch that's literally right behind him. We started Car Edge. It was initially a car broker, like we would do concierge for people. That lasted for about 2 weeks, 3 weeks. We got too busy. We now offer Car Edge concierge. And we've actually got so many car deals. We're doing like 3 or 4 car deals a week right now. If you're interested in our concierge service, just go to caredge.com/concierge. It is a wait list still until we build up the team. And if you're a dealership that wants to work with our customers, we do not charge dealers, obviously. We've never made a dime from a dealer or an OEM. But if you're a dealership and you want to treat our customers nicely, email us, let us know. We'd be happy to find the good folks that we can send people their way.
Yeah, I was going to say we have never made a dime from a dealership, and the plan is that we never will.
Yep, so bash us if you want that we sell our own products, that we sell Car Edge coaching or concierge, or that we spent, I don't know, a couple, like $10,000, $15,000 to set up our insurance agency last year. Bash us for all that, but we're determined to not make a dime from a dealership or from an OEM. And you know what, damn it, I'm going to stick with it. That's the plan. So speaking of which, we have the promo going on, 25% off back at caredge.com between now and the end of the year, and $100 off on the extended warranty. No hard sell here, folks. Just if you're going to buy a car, let us help. And Dad, one thing I'm noticing with this new camera angle, look at my nose, man. That is not good.
Yeah, you talk about a deviated septum, buddy. Yes, yours.
That's not good, man.
Yours is probably more deviated.
Oh, yours is deviated too.
Well, yeah, I broke my nose, I think, 3 or 4 times. Mine's definitely, but I think you only broke yours once. Once was it? You know,
Shefska. Down goes Shefska.
Exactly. Yeah. That's how Howard Cosell called it. It was the fight Muhammad George Foreman against Joe Frazier from Kingston, Jamaica. Yes.
Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier.
Yes, it was a great fight, by the way.
We're getting feedback on the nose angle, and evidently it is not the move. All right, here's the deal. We're going to call it a show. If you're not following us over on Twitter, I encourage you to do that. I'll put it up on the screen. We're working on something really big, like really probably the most impactful work we've ever done. We're currently doing. We've got the Car Edge report dropping this week. So if you're not an existing Car Edge member of some sort, or just even on our email list, you need to be, because the Car Edge report is going to come out this week. And then the other thing that we are working on, for those of you who are unfamiliar, we're spending some time looking into OpenAI, and holy cow, is it crazy. So if you want to get early access to the Car Edge OpenAI, we're using it to essentially analyze all of the vehicles that are currently for sale and all of the actual car deals that our community is getting to help you. We're trying to use it to improve our negotiability score, suggested offer, things like that. So if you're not following on Twitter over at Shefska, you could miss out on things like this. Eventually, obviously, once things are ready for everyone, we'll bring it over here to YouTube. But please, 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 please avail yourself of this information.
Do we have big news for Wednesday night?
We do. We do have big news for Wednesday night. We are going to be doing a special show on Wednesday night, an automotive roundtable with a couple other really influential YouTubers here. Automotive YouTubers. We've got Craig from Flying Wheels, who's going to be joining us. We have Lucky Lopez from Automotive Life, who will be joining us. And we have Brandon from Car Questions Answered. We are going to be doing on Wednesday night a automotive roundtable where all 5 of us, I'll moderate. Pops, you'll be the one that gets to represent Car Edge. I'll moderate. We're going to have a conversation about the industry, about their channels, and hopefully we can do more and more shows like that. So mark your calendars, 7 p.m. Wednesday evening, Mrs. Car Questions Answered is super excited about that as well. I'm stoked, Dad. What about you?
Well, I am because I reminded you to bring it up on the show today that this is the first roundtable that we've ever done, and I think it will be as educational for the viewers as it will be for the participants. In that we will all be able to share different aspects of what we do, which will help us all have a better understanding of the market. And I am so looking forward to it. It is so long overdue. So kudos to you for putting it all together. Yeah, it'll be fun. Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern time.
And the really cool thing about it is we're actually going to broadcast. So live chat will be open. I got that here from George. Yes. We're actually going to simulcast it to each of our channels. So it'll be on the Car Edge channel. It'll be on Car Questions Answered. It'll be on Flying Wheels. And it'll be on Automotive Life. It's going to be on everyone's channel. So you're going to be hard-pressed not to be aware that this roundtable is going on. And I am really hopeful, Dad, that we can do more of these in the future, because there's so many people out there that are a part of this community that mm-hmm. create these videos. And I just love the idea of moderating a conversation. Obviously, hearing people's stories is super fascinating, but moderating a conversation around these crazy trends that we're seeing.
Yes.
It's just going to be a wealth of knowledge. And the fact that it'll be simulcast is really cool too. So yeah, no, I can't wait. Wednesday at 7 p.m., please, Eastern 7 p.m., please mark your calendars.
I'm glad I reminded you, buddy. In the meantime, folks, in the meantime, Zach and I will be back here tomorrow at noon Eastern, 9 specific, 8 a.m. Alaska time, with more news that you can use from Car Edge. And we want to thank you for being with us here today, and we look forward to seeing you back here again tomorrow.
Nicely done, Pops. See you then.
Best outro I could do.